Fuck.
Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth. Brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. You have now entered the cone of truth. And I'm going to redistribute the truth for you today because you're entitled to it. All right. Another day. Another city has fallen. Islamic State extremists. Now they're calling them extremists. Before they were calling them militants. This is Associated Press. Seize the ancient Syrian town of Palmyra. They now control ISIS. Controls half of Syria. That is a stunning development. They literally control half of Syria. The majority of Iraq. They are moving on. It is amazing. Yet the White House still is calling the fall of Ramadi a technical setback. Mr. Obama gave an interview to Atlantic Magazine that was published yesterday, and I will I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, yesterday, Richard Engel from NBC, who's been doing some just amazing reporting. Now, this is NBC. He was on MSNBC talking about what's going on in the region. Listen to this.
Richard, you heard Richard Clark. He's saying that ISIS has become the de facto nation.
Well, I can't think of any reason why you would dispute that. It's not a traditional nation. It certainly doesn't have a seat at the UN. It's a terrorist state, but it is a state that international efforts, U.S.-led efforts, have not been able to dislodge, and it seems to be getting bigger. Although the U.S. is leading an air war against Iraq, or in Iraq and in Syria against ISIS, the group is continuing to expand. And I think it raises enormous questions about the strategy. It raises huge questions about do things need to change? Can the U.S. Continue on its course even when, you know, the definition of stupidity, frankly, is continue on the same course and expecting a different result? And I think we may be heading in that direction.
That's Richard Engel. The definition of, I think the term is the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again. And that is what the U.S. has been doing.
That would fit stupidity as well.
he referred to, and this is Richard Engel, by the way. This is NBC News. He referred to Richard Clark's interview. Richard Clark had given an interview as well. Now, look, Richard Clark is obviously a Democrat operative. But he says, actually, what I've been saying, and that is, you know, obviously he faults the Bush administration, but I think it's high time, and I've said this for a while, conservatives need to realize that the world is not a better place without Saddam Hussein. So here's what Richard Clark had to say about this.
We opened Pandora's box when we went into Iraq, and some people said that beforehand, not many. And all of the stuff that we're seeing today, the rise of ISIS, the disintegration of the state in Iraq, the disintegration of the state in Syria, I think is arguably directly connected to our invasion. We destroyed the state. This is what happens when you destroy a state. You have chaos. You have the rise of factions, regional and ethnic factions. And I think we can look at that decision and say that's the reason that hundreds of thousands, probably a couple of million, if you add it all up, people have been killed. We're kind of doing it half-assed. And I understand why. The president and a lot of the American people who elected him don't want to go back into Iraq. They elected him to get out of Iraq, after all. And they're reluctant to go any further than we have. But, you know, we have 3,000 troops there as advisors, as trainers. And we could probably do what we need to do with that number or only slightly more. But there are political decisions to be made. And I think the American people and the Congress ought to be part of that. And the Congress has been asked by the president months ago now to make a decision to vote on the use of force against ISIS. And they've refused to do it. It's incredible. When the Congress is not asked, as has frequently been the case with a lot of presidents, they bitch and moan that they weren't asked. And now we have a president who says, okay, I used to be in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I know I should ask for this. I've asked for this.
So he's blaming, I love how he's blaming Congress for this. Okay. It's somehow Congress. He blamed Bush and he blamed Congress, and kind of a little bit, said that, Obama was being half-ass. Here's the deal. While Mr. Obama was sending out a message of, climate change and talking about the so-called climate change skeptics that deny global warming, ISIS fighters are literally killing hundreds of Muslims and taking control of more territory in Iraq and Syria. As I spoke yesterday, Mr. Obama told the cadets at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy, make no mistake, talking about global warming, it will impact how our military defends our country. We need to act, and we need to act now. Call me crazy, but it seems like the need for a call to action shouldn't be focused combating warm weather or politicizing science. I think they should be focused clearly on the Islamic State terrorists. Again, call me crazy. So, Mr. Obama gave a long-ranging interview for the Atlantic magazine. And he said that the fall of Ramadi is only a technical setback. He says, I don't think we're losing. There's no doubt there was a tactical setback. Although Ramadi has been very vulnerable for a very long time, primarily because these are not Iraqi security forces that we have trained or reinforced. Huh. And you also had Marie Harf saying, what did Marie Harf say, Steve? What was the quote?
Something to the effect that the Iraqi forces did a fine job in holding the line.
Yes, they did.
That's a paraphrase.
We've got Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News out of Washington, D.C. Ellen, how are you? Oh, I know. It's a tough town. But if anybody can do it, you can do it, Ellen. I know that. There are reports that ISIS has captured the town of Palmyra in Syria. What's stunning about this development is that they now control half of Syria. It's really just amazing.
And because the North they show how ISIS is all over Sudan.
Oh, yeah.
So in their five-year plan, they have taking over South Sudan. And then, I'll tell you, we are up a creek.
Oh, there's no question about it. Look, they are firmly ensconced in Africa. There's no question about it. That's part of their grand plan and their scheme. But, you know, here's what's amazing to me is that you have people that in the administration that continue to downplay this. And I understand why Mr. Obama does this, but it's clearly a failure of a foreign policy. I just don't know what it is that that we can do at this point. We've clearly opened up to quote Richard Clark, Pandora's box. And I have said this for a while. I don't know if I mentioned this to you the other day, but you know, I think we talked about it earlier in the week about the fact that you know, conservatives need to get on board and realize that you know, the world is not a better place without Saddam Hussein. You know, we started this, and I put the blame firmly on both administrations for this. But now it seems like there is just such a lack of leadership in terms of this this problem that we have, and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
No, it is not going to go away anytime soon. And you know, you probably have the George Bush people saying that we should still be in Iraq, which I disagree with. However, the problem is we totally pulled out, and
right,
that was also a problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at the fault of, you know, you have to lay the blame at the Obama administration for pulling out the way they did, and at the Bush administration for going in there to begin with. Absolutely, there's no question about it, and I say that.
And honestly, we would not see ISIS-ISIL if you had Saddam Hussein still alive and running that.
Thank you very much.
As bad as he was.
No, that's absolutely true.
You know, I just have to tell you the story. Jim Pinkerton and I were in Iraq 3 months after, in June of 2003, so 12 years ago, and our guide spoke English, and she was somebody who used to work at the Ministry of Information, you know, totally Saddam Hussein. So she said, what do you think of war? I said, well, I don't like Saddam Hussein, but I certainly was opposed to the war. She said, my children, they used to get up in the morning and say, good morning, Baba Saddam, in school. Who are they going to say now? Good morning, Iraq? I said, well, you know, what about the mass graves? Oh, nobody perfect.
Well, here's the thing.
That's really what she said to me. I was
but
like,
Ellen,
oh,
it's
my God.
But you know, here's the thing. It's true. You see, we always place our Western sensibilities in these situations, and I don't think you can. You know, we always try to export this Jeffersonian democracy to the rest of the world, and frankly, I don't think you can. And I think it's our own hubris that causes us to do that.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't disagree with you. On the other hand, I see what happens in South Sudan where you have so much corruption and the average people get nothing.
But that's the world. That's the world. There's corruption in the State Department. There's corruption in the Clinton Foundation.
The United States, as corrupt as some of our members of Congress are, as corrupt as you might say the State Department is, there's nothing like the corruption I've seen in Africa.
That's not the point, though. There's corruption all over the world. You can go all over the world. There's corruption in Russia. There's corruption in South America and Central America.
I know,
listen,
but some places...
There's
more
corruption
corrupt than others.
Yeah, there's corruption in South Florida. There's corruption everywhere. The point is, they're human beings by their very nature are corrupt. Okay, and so the fact is that you know, we've got no business doing what we do, going into other countries and trying to nation build. But setting that aside, clearly, Ramadi and all these failures are not a tactical setback. They are complete failure on the part of the Obama administration in terms of foreign policy. And I understand the legacy that he wants. Unfortunately, I think his legacy will be foreign policy and the fact that it has been an abject failure.
Well, I mean, I think that's what Bush was. I think,
absolutely.
Honestly, we've got to figure out how to deal with these crazy people.
I don't disagree. I'm right there with you. I think the Bush administration is at fault here as well. See, I'm not a big party guy here. I think that we have a one party system in America, frankly, and I tell you that all the time.
Well, I think we have a system we have not figured out how to deal with foreigners.
It's a one-party system of the political.
But that would be
elites.
Even okay if we could figure out how to deal with some of these crazy people.
Yeah, but we do it over and over and over again. Our monolithic view of Vietnam and communism, and we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. That is a definition of insanity, Ellen.
I don't disagree with you. That's an AA definition from a long time ago.
That's right. All right, Ellen, listen, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
Right,
happy
too.
Memorial Day.
All right, thank you very much. We'll be right back. Don't touch
that. Get out of here, you low-life scum.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I believe that skincare doesn't need to be complicated. Here's my simple program. In the morning, protect your skin with my daytime cream. Daytime is an SPF 20 sunscreen with niacin and moisturizers. In the evening, feed your skin with my nighttime serum. Nighttime has vitamin C and A, fruit acids, and antioxidants. And wash your face with Clean Time, my wonderful smelling toxin-free soap. Feed, protect, and clean. That's all it takes to have truly beautiful skin. My basic regimen is the simplest, most effective skincare program you can buy. It includes nighttime and daytime and a bar of Clean Time soap. To order, call 855-940-1500. That's 855-940-1500, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Mention Phoenix, and my basic skincare regimen is yours for $99.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yes. Welcome back to the show. Speaking of hype and not believing it, listen to Josh Earnest yesterday talking about the fall of Ramadi and what's happening with ISIS.
We would like to see better results. And that's the nature of the discussion that the president's been having with his national security team, frankly, for 9 months now, but most recently on Tuesday.
And do you believe that ISIS has established something of a caliphate?
No, I don't believe that at all. What we actually see is that
they do control territory.
They do control some territory, less than they used to. We also see that ISIL leaders are very concerned about their own security, that they're not moving particularly freely these days. They're justifiably concerned for their safety because they know that the U.S. and our coalition partners have a capacity to take them off the battlefield, and that capacity was vividly demonstrated over the weekend. So that is an indication of the kinds of limits that have been imposed on them. But we're very mindful of the threat that is posed by ISIL. We take this threat very seriously. And that, again, that is why the president convened a meeting with his national security team, a formal meeting, to discuss this situation, because we are mindful of the capacity for violence that this extremist organization has demonstrated.
The coalition was there once again, too.
The 60-nation coalition, including Myanmar. And he said, this is interesting, he said they control less than what they used to. No, they control more.
They took over two cities this week.
This week they control half of Syria and most of Iraq. They're living up to their name, ISIS, which is stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They are living up to their name. But the administration continues to tell us that no, it's not happening. It's just a tactical setback, to quote Mr. Obama. It's stunning that they continue to basically lie to us constantly. So I want to talk a little bit about this interview with Atlantic Magazine, where Mr. Obama says that he doesn't think we're losing, that it's a tactical setback. He also went on to say, talking about the nuclear deal with Iran, saying that 20 years from now, I'm still going to be around, God willing. If Iran has a nuclear weapon, it's my name on this. So I just want to talk about that, because here's a little refresher course. Since the president announced this deal, Ben Rhodes, this is a Brett Stevens wrote an article, an op-ed piece last week about this. Actually, I'm sorry, this week, it was on Tuesday. Ben Rhodes, the president's national security advisor, said about the nuclear deal, he said, if you can diplomatically and peacefully resolve the nuclear issue in a way that prevents Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, he told reporters, we believe that will lead to a much more stable region. That's Ben Rhodes. Again, they actually believe this crap. Okay, so here's just a little refresher course. April 2nd, the day they announced the deal, Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif immediately accused the U.S. of spin and contradicted Mr. Obama's key claims regarding the terms of the deal. Remember that? April 12th, a Swedish think tank reports that Saudi Arabia registered the biggest increase in defense spending in the world. April 13th, Moscow says it will deliver the S-300 air defense system to Tehran. Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei later boasts that the U.S. can't do a damn thing militarily against Iran. April 14th, Iran announces agreements with Russia and China to build additional nuclear reactors. April 17th, Iran dispatches an armed convoy of ships believed to be destined to resupply pro-Iranian Houthi rebels in Yemen, in contradiction of a UN arms embargo. It goes on and on and on. But my point here is this. We have a nuclear arms race that's going on right now. So you have to look at the administration and their foreign policy. They're working on a deal, or they've already got a deal basically in place. And that's another thing. What's up with this deal with Iran? We don't know about it. Remember, they said they were going to finalize it in June. Well, June is quickly approaching. I'm sure they're doing something behind the scenes that we don't know about, obviously. But in giving Iran the ability to have a nuclear weapon, all you're doing is you're going to have an arms race going on now.
Well, Iran came out yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but said they had 80,000 missiles pointed at Israel right now.
Right. And well, they've always had that, but the difference is now they've got ICBMs that can go to the United States. Okay, that's the concern. But according to the administration, everything is awesome in the Middle East.
It's just a technical setback. Like Hitler had a technical setback in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing that the administration is the way they're spinning this. Now, Ramadi, it's 68 miles west of Baghdad. Okay. Obama said in this article too, in this Atlantic article, said the U.S. must assist Iraq in the battle and not fight it for them. How are we going to do that? He said in the Sunni areas, we're going to have to ramp up not just training, but also commitment. And we better get Sunni tribes more active than they currently have been. So it's a source of concern. What is he talking about? We're going to have to ramp up training. We've been training these guys for how many years now? 10 years. He went on to say that he's still opposed to sending U.S. combat troops back to Iraq. Although last year he authorized airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Iraq and Syria. This is going to continue to be a quagmire. And the only difference is that we have no troops on the ground. And look, and nobody's saying that we need to get more troops. But this is just going to get worse and worse. And eventually, you have what I see as a caliphate. There's no question about it. They have talked openly about establishing a caliphate. They have a government in place. You know, they're picking up the trash. They're doing things that governments do. They have a judiciary, albeit Sharia law.
Yeah, but according to Josh Earnest, they do not have a caliphate.
No, they do not have a caliphate, and they have less territory than they had before. So I fear that this is only going to get worse. It is clearly something that the U.S. continues to do continuously, i.e. Foreign policy failures. We can, you know, go back decades. I don't think it's going to get any better with Iran having a nuclear bomb, because Saudi Arabia is going to get one too in a minute. And you know, the thing is, you got to remember that there is now a civil war going on, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. There's a civil war between the Shiites and the Sunnis in the region, which pits Saudi Arabia against Iran. And Israel is basically just caught in the middle of it in the region. And they hate us. They hate the United States. So I don't understand why Obama calls the fall of Ramadi a tactical setback. It is clearly an abject failure on the part of the administration. And again, I have to continue to reiterate this, that it is the fault of both administrations. It's not just the fault of the Obama administration. If you have a business and you want to get results and you like my show, you listen to me every morning, you like it, you like what I have to say, then help me out. Advertise. Advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. Radio is the way to go. I reach more people than your local newspaper by far. So advertise with the Edward Woodson Show, and you will get results, because like-minded people like yourself listen to the show.
Give me a call at 305-528-3552. That's 305-528-3552. We'll be right back.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
You're listening to Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky. The man suspected of murdering a wealthy Washington, D.C. family in custody, the Blaze Radio's Tom Peace reports.
Washington, D.C. police confirmed the arrest of Duron Wendt. He's wanted in the killing of businessman Savas Savopoulos, along with his wife, 10-year-old son, and their housekeeper, their bodies found in their burned mansion.
The New York Times continues to hammer Hillary Clinton about emails from former aide Sidney Blumenthal and their relation to her actions regarding the Benghazi terrorist attack on 9/11. The very latest now from the Blaze Radio's Chris Barnes in Washington, D.C.
Emails just released confirming Sidney Blumenthal advises Clinton 2 days after the 2012 attack that the deadly assault is carried out by an Al-Qaeda-tied group, warning that the group uses protests over an anti-Islam internet video as cover. Clinton responds to an advisor, "We should get this around ASAP," though that contradicts the initial White House claim days after the email exchange that the attacks were spontaneous, tied to the protests over the video. That special congressional committee investigating the Benghazi attack now demanding that Blumenthal testify, as well as Hillary Clinton.
By all accounts, President Obama still in deep denial over the situation unfolding in Iraq involving ISIS. Here's the Blaze Radio's Greg Moore with details.
Add President Obama to the list of people who say the fall of Ramadi to ISIS is a setback. Obama says, "I don't think we're losing the fight against ISIS." The president telling the Atlantic magazine that the U.S. needs to ramp up training and commitment to fight ISIS in the Sunni region of Iraq and says we better get Sunni tribes more activated than they currently have been. Obama says he would continue to order the U.S. military to provide Iraqi security forces all the help they need in order to secure the country. White House spokesman Josh Earnest saying the fight against ISIS will continue to be challenging.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio. Two people found shot to death in the backyard of a home in Phoenix. The homeowner reporting the bodies.
There is evidence of trauma to their bodies, but as far as whether it was blunt force or gunshot, that's going to be yet to, that'll be determined later on, and the medical examiner will determine cause of death.
Sergeant Vince Lewis is one of the victims. Is a man who'd been staying at the home while his home was under renovation. No suspects in custody. State's unemployment rate drops 0.2 points to 6%, but state economist Aruna Murthy says most of the jobs were in government.
Private sector overall had a very poor showing. 300 jobs is compared to what we found in terms of post-recession, and the historic average is rather low.
Holly Solomon on her way to prison for more than 3 years. She was found guilty of running over her husband with her SUV and causing severe injuries in Mesa. Holly said her husband failed to vote in the election and caused Obama to be reelected. She got angry and ran him over. Geico weather, below normal temperatures continuing. Mid-80s in the deserts, mid-50s up north. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the good folks at McDonald's. You're going to find some delays, gang. Eastbound I-10, 75th Avenue, all the way into the tunnel on this Friday. Same thing, southbound I-17 from Northern through Camelback. And we have a closure, Country Club Drive at Baseline, closure due to a police chase that started in Scottsdale and wound up there. Start your day with McDonald's sausage McMuffin with egg. Freshly cracked grade A egg, toasted English muffin, sausage, and cheese. Now 2 for $3.33. Price and participation may vary.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center for the rest of the morning, skies will be clear, a low 57. Heading into Friday, we'll have mostly sunny conditions at a high of 74 with winds over 20 miles an hour. We'll kick off the holiday weekend Saturday with sunny skies at a high of 75. Sunday continues to be sunny. Expect a high of 80. I'm Rod Tanner from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we're at 71 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks on Independent Talk 1100. KFNX, more Edward Woodson comes your way.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back to the show. Well, the Clinton cohorts are out to defend Hillary, and their maxim is that no Democrat scandal is really a scandal. Former Obama spokesman Bill Burton was on Fox News. He was on Megyn Kelly's show. And she asked Burton about the cloud of corruption that follows Clinton everywhere she goes. And she specifically asked about the New York Times story on Sidney Blumenthal and his relationship to Hillary. And he dismissed it as simply as a confusing and trumped-up story that only exists on Fox News, that vast part of that vast right-wing conspiracy. Here's what he had to say on the show. This is from our friends at MRC TV.
Why does it seem like... Really? Do you know what show follows mine? Why does it seem like there's this cloud of corruption that follows her, for, you know, between the emails and the Clinton Foundation, this report, tomorrow maybe another one?
Maybe it just only follows her around at your network? No,
the New York Times broke the email story. The New York Times broke the Blumenthal story. It's not
right,
just the
right,
Fox News
course.
Channel.
Right, right. But of course, you know, the right especially is going to take these news reports. They're going to talk about them as much as they can because they think that they can really make ground by going after anything that smells like scandal.
It's the New York Times here to discuss Mike Opelka from The Blaze. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I can't complain. Nobody cares anyway. But anyway.
those are two separate issues.
clearly.
They're related in some instances. But isn't this interesting we're getting this document dump on a holiday weekend Friday?
Of course. That's the way it goes. That's why I'm always leery of Fridays. I always think to myself, okay, today's the day. What's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, that's funny because you bring up a really good point. Most of the world goes, it's Friday, it's the weekend, and especially
right.
this weekend. It's a long weekend.
Right.
Those of us in the news media who understand the weasels that are running the country always go, and I mean weasels left and right,
all right,
what shoe is going to fall today?
Exactly.
And you always, about 3 o'clock is when it usually hits. Just,
of course.
Just when everyone who's responsible or able to reply is at the airport, or on a plane, so you can't even get to them.
And especially a day like today, because everybody is leaving already. They've already left. Most people actually aren't even working today. They've already taken off Friday.
But you and I, stalwart souls. But this is an indication that when we talked about the Benghazi story being akin to Watergate, we were right.
It's way worse. And I've said that for a long time.
Worse.
We've all said that, though. But we were just crazy. And the left thought that it was just a trumped-up scandal. But now we see that Hillary Clinton, and I'm sure the Obama administration, they knew that it had nothing to do with this video. And more importantly, you know, this Sidney Blumenthal thing, you know, he... It's almost like they were rooting for, and now you know why. Kind of, they wanted Gaddafi to go because they stood to make money.
Oh yeah, make money, and The interesting thing about this is, 3 years ago now, Glenn and the Blaze were talking about the fact that this was a gun-running operation, that we were running guns to the rebels in Syria through Libya.
Right.
And we were called nutcases, kooks, conspiracy theorists. And when Fox News then comes out and says, we've proven it, they were running guns through Syria, to Syria, through Libya, and nobody goes, wait a minute, the Blaze talked about this 3 years ago. I hope this continues to come out and be important, because it is.
I you know what, though? I fear that people will just dismiss it. They will, because for some reason, whenever it surrounds Hillary, and of course, you saw the that focus group put together by
Heilman and John Heilman and what's his name, Halperin.
Halperin, yeah. I mean, it seems as though, regardless of the fact that people cannot name one accomplishment by Hillary Clinton, that it seems like they still think, you know, they're still going to vote for her. You know, they're still going to be behind her. And I don't think the Benghazi thing is going to matter. And it's such a distasteful thing, because of the fact that you had, if you look at these emails, you know, they knew that this was a planned attack 10 days before they had intel, but yet they pushed that the video and said it was a spontaneous combustion having to do with
a spontaneous protest that then became violent. Yeah, well, now we know differently. Let's see if anything comes of this. I think that the Clinton method of just don't say anything, just stand on the sidelines and keep your powder dry, has held so far for her.
Yeah.
But unless and until the American people get really engaged and involved on this, I think it could hold anyway.
I think listen, here's the thing, Mike, is I think that people, I've always said this. You and I have talked about this for a while now. That it's this is way worse than Watergate. I mean, if you look at Watergate, it was some bumbling burglaries that occurred from some guys from Miami that couldn't even pull it off. Really, they got caught trying to break in.
Yeah, they were. It was a break-in.
Yeah, they didn't even pull it off.
This is people dying.
This is people dying. But again, I don't think that most of the electorate. Number one, I don't think they understand the nuances of this. And number two, I don't think it's going to matter. I think that people are still going to vote for Hillary, and I think this disqualifies her from being president. But I don't think it's going to matter. I really don't.
She's still the presumptive nominee until any of this starts sticking. Her Teflon pantsuit appears to be holding up at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
I may start using that term, Teflon pantsuit.
It is appropriate. That and America's ex-wife.
Oh, that's funny.
That's mine. That's
well, the other I like that. The other story that I'm using today is the Obama and the White House are now ISIS deniers.
Oh yeah, I opened.
Yeah, they're
up
not
the
climate deniers. They're ISIS deniers. And
I opened the show about that. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
Baghdad Bob is back.
It really is. I mean, Josh Earnest is Baghdad Bob. Of course, we're referencing Baghdad Bob that told people that got on TV when the U.S. forces were advancing and said, no, we're pushing them back. I mean, Josh Earnest actually said yesterday that they have less territory than before. Like,
yeah,
what?
They got half of Syria.
They have half of Syria. They have most of Iraq. They're living up to their name. They control the majority of Iraq and Syria together. They've formed their own caliphate. And
but
another
hey, don't you dare call it a caliphate. Yeah. Don't you dare say we're losing.
Right.
it's almost laughable if there weren't lives at stake. And McCain, he did stumble through the hair on fire breakdown, but he was right. How dare you say it's hair on fire when you've got bodies on fire in the streets in Vermont?
Yeah, but you know, here's the problem, and I said this to you before. I want conservatives. I want one guy to come out, and Rand Paul's the closest one. Stop
saying, conservatives have to do this. Stop saying the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein, because it's not. The world is not a better place because this never would have happened under Saddam Hussein.
Well, this is also my argument to all these. Hypothetical questions only get hypothetical answers.
Yeah.
You can't know, and don't get me going into Rumsfeld turf here about not knowing what we don't know and knowing what we do know and not knowing. I'll just spin out.
No, listen, and if you look at going back to, you know, what we originally spoke about, i.e. the emails with about Libya and the fall of Gaddafi, look at Libya. Look at Libya right now. Is the world a better place because of Gaddafi being gone in Libya? I don't think so. I mean, if you look at Libya, Libya's now become this jump-off point.
It's a port. They have a port city. They have a Mediterranean seafront where they can actually bring hundreds of people at a time, behead them, so the shores of Tripoli will run red with blood, and they can bring in and out stuff. And like you said, a jumping off point. It's really disturbing to me.
And but the White House calls it a tactical setback, the fall of
Ramadi. Yeah, tactical, hair on fire.
Uh-huh.
It makes me want to light what's left of my hair on fire.
I think you should just go ahead and shave.
It'd be a small fire, let's face it. You couldn't even make toast.
All right, Mike. Listen, thanks for coming on the show. As usual, I appreciate the insight.
Edward, I want to remind everybody, use the hashtag if you're on social media this weekend. Remember Memorial Day. It's not Happy Memorial Day. It's Remember Memorial Day.
Exactly. When you're having that hot dog or that hamburger on the grill, remember exactly what it is that why we have Memorial Day. I agree.
Thank you, sir. God
right,
bless.
Thank you. Take care. Right, we're going to have a quick break, and we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
You gotta whip it up!
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Your utility bills, you wanna bring them down. We know how you feel, we're gonna show you how. Take ceiling fans and solar power. They'll save you a lot, hour after hour. Conservation, transformation.
If you've been thinking about going solar, the time to do it is now. Why? There's a lot of government support available for the upfront payment, and Arizona Energy Pros is offering a backup outlet with system purchase valued at $299 for free. Call 602-44-SOLAR. That's 602-44-SOLAR. Visit aepros.com.
Save your energy. Call Arizona Energy Pros.
Divorce can be a traumatic experience.
I'm pro football legend Barry Sanders, and when I was facing my divorce, I didn't know of Cordell and Cordell, but now I do. The family law attorneys of Cordell and Cordell have made it their mission to preserve the roles of dads in their children's lives. I met with Cordell and Cordell attorneys. I sat down with their clients and heard their stories. I know that Cordell and Cordell's priority is to protect and promote men's financial and family interests in all stages of divorce. Don't face this process alone. Consider Cordell and Cordell, a partner men can count on.
Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell and Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Arizona attorneys. 602-995-6666. That's 602-995-6666. Or visit online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in Scottsdale, Chandler, downtown Phoenix, and Peoria. Cordell and Cordell. 7150 East Camelback Road, Suite 444, Scottsdale, Arizona. 85251.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back. You remember when the administration told us that we needed to pass Obamacare because it would lower the rates on an average of $2,500?
Yeah, and you can keep your doctor, too.
$2,500 per family. The Wall Street Journal is now reporting that major insurers in some states are proposing hefty rate boosts for plans sold under the federal health law, setting the stage for an intense debate this summer over the law's impact. In New Mexico, market leader Healthcare Service Corp is asking for an average jump of 51.6% in premiums for 2016. The biggest insurer in Tennessee, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, has requested an average of 36.3%. In Maryland, market leader Care First Blue Cross Blue Shield wants to raise rates 30% across the board for its products.
That's certainly keeping up with inflation.
Certainly keeping up with inflation, and it also keeping up with the lies that are perpetuated by this administration.
How's the average person, supposed to pay 51% more than they did last year for the same coverage?
It's amazing. Look, it's very simple. It's very simple, and this is what we said at the time. But again, don't believe your lying eyes. We said that. It's basic economics. You've got more people that aren't paying. You bring them in. Somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to pay for it. Insurance companies aren't just going to give it away for free. They've got to stay in business. That's how business works. And that is the problem, because you have leftists come from the teachers' lounges of the world. And they have no practical experience. If you are a community organizer and that's the path you take to become the president of the United States, that is, you've never run a business. You've cashed checks, but you've never written checks. So that is the biggest problem here, is that you're going to see huge increases and people are going to start freaking out. Because you and I always talk about this, Steve, is how people don't get engaged.
Not until it hits home.
Until it hits them. I remember talking to somebody because I had talked about this before the law passed, and then I had a friend of mine that when he got his letter, that's when he started freaking out. He's like, "Oh my God, my rates went up," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, I told you that was going to happen, dude. Like, what are you talking about? My God, my rates went up." So when people get these letters, and it's only going to get worse. Because again, and I say this, and I have to again quote Margaret Thatcher: socialism is great until you run out of other people's money, and eventually you're going to run out of other people's money. That's just the way it is. A judge has sentenced an Arizona woman to 3.5 years in prison for running over her husband with an SUV because he didn't vote against President Barack Obama in 2012. 31-year-old Holly Solomon of Mesa, Arizona, to my listeners in Arizona, pleaded guilty to assault charges stemming from injuries her husband suffered days after Obama was reelected. She was sentenced yesterday.
Her husband told investigators Solomon believed her family would face hardship as a result of Obama's re-election. So she was upset. They got an argument, and she ran him over.
Are they still married?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. Apparently she chased him around the parking lot, too. Circled him as he hid behind a light pole. Struck him and pinned him under the vehicle as he tried to flee. I hope he got rid of her. I don't know if they're still together, though. That's a very good question. We're going to have to find that out. Matthew McConaughey delivered a message to the grads of the University of Houston last week, warning them about the pitfalls of the entitlement trap. And this is what we talk about all the time. So just want to play this for you real quick. This is Matthew McConaughey.
Right, first up, Oscar winner and Hollywood heartthrob Matthew McConaughey with an inspiring message for the University of Houston grads about life.
Congratulations, class of 2015. Life's not fair. It never was. It isn't now, and it won't ever be. Do not fall into the trap, the entitlement trap, of feeling like you're a victim. You are not.
Hooray for Matthew McConaughey, you know? He's absolutely right. And that's the problem is that we have go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think he went on in that same speech to say everybody has the same opportunity. You need to get up and get with the program.
That's absolutely true. And this is what's happened is government has created this entitlement trap. Do you know that we have spent since the passage of the war on poverty? It's been 50 years now. We spent $20 trillion.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
$20 trillion to eradicate poverty. And guess what? It's worse. If you go to these blighted neighborhoods all over the place, it's worse. So you have to look at yourself and you have to say, again, definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again. And you just wonder, you know, why it is that we continue to do the same things over and over again. Whether it's a foreign policy, whether it's spending money, throwing good money after bad, or whether it is the war on drugs that we have in this country, we continue to do the same things over and over again. The definition of insanity, and it's because you have the worst possible people running things in Washington. And that is the problem, because the best and the brightest no longer want to be involved in that. You got people like... you know, all the you can name most politicians that's what they do. You know, it's the really smart ones want nothing to do with government, and so we're left with these choices constantly. All right, I am out of time for the day, but check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. If you want to listen to past shows or podcasts, go to woodsonarchive.com. Also, follow me on Twitter at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
If you call yourself a conservative, why be here if you're not going to fight? And people say, well, people don't want people fighting. People want everyone to get along, Laura. They want bipartisan agreement, Laura. This is what they want, Laura. No, I think people don't really care about bipartisan agreement. We had a lot of bipartisan agreement in the past. Didn't work out for the people so well. What this election in November showed everybody is that the people are fed up.
Catch the Laura Ingraham Show Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on KFNX.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, weather, this is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of space, the feeling of weightlessness. Only astronauts and test pilots know the feeling of weightlessness. To create this sensation without going to space, NASA has flown